The kid looked around to see if Tate was still all right. He saw the old lawman standing a few yards away, but Tate was no longer alone. A tall, raw-boned man stood with him, and he had a gun in his hand. The kid's Colt was gone. He had dropped it sometime during the ruckus, and while he was sure it was nearby, he couldn't see it. Anyway, he wouldn't have wanted to draw on the man with Tate, because that fellow was wearing a badge, too.
You all right?
Yeah. I reckon I'm fine, Marshal. My ribs will be a little sore from that bear hug, but Ahern didn't break any of them.
Well, you're lucky, mister. Jed Ahern has squeezed the life plumb out of more than one man.
Why isn't he in prison, then?
No, they were fair fights. As fair as any fight between Ahern and a human being could be, I guess. Although, to really be fair, he'd have to be fighting a grizzly bear or a mountain lion.
I'm pretty sure he shot that man, then threw him out the window for good measure.
Did you actually see that happen?
Well, no. But there were a lot of shots in the saloon, and then just as the marshal and I got here, the body came flying out through the window. Ahern sauntered out just a second or two later, obviously pleased with himself.
But you didn't actually see him hurt anybody, is that right?
No, not until he attacked the marshal and me when we tried to take him to jail.
Yeah, that's another thing. You keep calling old Jared here the marshal, when he's not. He hasn't been for several years now.
Now that's not true. I'm the marshal of Copperhead Springs. I'm the marshal.
No, Jared, I am. Remember? Riley Cumberland?
I'm the marshal.
Cumberland looked at the kid.
Look, mister, I reckon I can give you the benefit of the doubt if you thought you were lending a helping hand to a real lawman, but you weren't. And Jared retired as the town's marshal 4 years ago when he started getting forgetful. If you've been around him for very long at all, you've seen how easily he gets confused.
I've seen it. I also saw him save my life a few days ago.
Well, I don't doubt it a bit. Jared was a mighty fine lawman in his time. And on his good days, I guess he can still handle himself pretty well. But he's got no right to arrest anybody anymore. I don't even know what he's doing here. He's supposed to be in Wichita living with his daughter, Bertha.
Bertha? That's my little girl, kid. I'll introduce you to her. Cute as a button, she is. Just turned 7.
That's fine, Marshal. I'm looking forward to it.
You see what I mean? Now I reckon I'd better get this mess cleaned up. It's a fine thing for a man to get back to town and find something like this waiting for him.
The kid had already figured out Cumberland was the one who'd come galloping up just before the fight with Jed Ahern broke out.
Are you going to lock up Ahern until you find out what happened?
I can't lock up a man just on your say-so, mister. And since you already told me you didn't see him do anything wrong...
I did!
A woman pushed the bat wings aside and stepped out of the saloon.
I saw Ahern shoot and kill Ed Phillips, and I'm willing to testify to it in a court of law.
Oh, damn it, Constance. You know that's not a very smart thing to do.
What's not smart? Telling the truth? Or expecting you to do your job, even if it means stirring up Harlan Levesey?
You got no call to talk that way.
Why would you be worried about upsetting Harlan Levesey? He's a little boy.
I always do my job. But there's nothing wrong with making sure what happened and not jumping to any conclusions.
Oh, no! You wouldn't want to jump to the conclusion that the Broken Spoke crew is nothing but a bunch of no-good hard cases now.
Constance was a big, middle-aged woman, seemingly almost as broad as she was tall, with red hair and a pugnacious expression on her round face. She wore a high-necked, long-sleeved gown of dark green silk, and due to the powerful nature of her personality, cut an impressive figure. She wasn't the sort of woman he would want to cross, the kid decided. She looked like she could break most hombres in two.
You go right ahead and find out what happened, Marshal. Sounds like you've got an eyewitness right here.
All right. Go ahead and tell me about it.
Ed Phillips was in my place having a drink when Ahern came in. He was proddy as ever.
Phillips, you mean?
Did you ever know Ed Phillips to be proddy in your life? The man wouldn't hardly step on a scorpion. No, I'm talking about Ahern. He was looking to pick a fight, the same way he is about half the time when he comes into town. And his eyes happened to light on Ed this time.
While Constance was talking, Tate edged away from Cumberland and came over to the kid.
None of this makes any sense, kid. There's some sort of trickery going on. Cy Levesey would never hire a man like Ahern, and his boy Harlan couldn't. Shoot. Harlan's only 10 or 12 years old.
Tate was lost in the past again, the kid thought. He wasn't sure the old lawman was ever fully in the present anymore.
We'll see what they have to say, Marshal.
Be careful. Folks will try to put one over on you.
Well, I've got you to steer me right.
You sure do.
Ed knew what sort of varmint Ahern is, so he tried to put up with the man picking at him. Ed tried to leave, but Ahern wouldn't let him. Finally, Ed just couldn't stand it anymore. He threw a punch at Ahern. That's when Ahern shot him.
Phillips didn't reach for his gun?
No, he didn't. He swung his fist, that's all. I reckon if Ahern had beaten him to death then, he could have claimed self-defense. Although that would have been a stretch since he's twice Ed's size. But that's not what happened. For some reason, Ahern pulled first. Ed made a fight of it, though. He didn't go down right away and managed to get his gun out after he was hit and got some shots off. Everybody in the place went diving for cover. It was a pretty good battle for a minute or so, but that's all. Ahern wasn't even hit, but poor Ed was shot to pieces. Then Ahern picked up Ed's body, made some comment about how it wasn't worth scraping his knuckles on trash like that, and chunked him through my window. That's the story, Marshal, and I say it's murder.
Did anybody else in the saloon see things the same way, Constance?
Did anybody? They all saw it that way, if they were looking, because that's what happened.
You won't mind if I ask them to back up your story, then. Otherwise, it's just your word.
Which ought to be good enough. Somebody come out here and tell this pitiful excuse for a marshal that Ahern murdered Ed Phillips!
No one came out of the saloon. Constance grabbed the bat wings and jerked them open.
I said, come out here and tell the truth!
The kid looked past her into the barroom. He could see a lot of pale, nervous faces. Faces that were lowered or turned away so their owners wouldn't have to look directly at Constance.
If you want to keep drinking here, you'll tell the marshal what happened.
Not even that threat was enough to make any of the saloon's patrons budge. But one man did come to the door. He was short and slender, wearing an apron over a stained white shirt and dark pants, and carrying a mop. His thinning hair was almost colorless.
It was like Miss Constance said, Riley. Jed Ahern picked the fight, and he didn't wait for Mr. Phillips to draw. It was murder, all right.
Well, of course you're gonna agree with her. You're the swamper here at the Trailblazer. You work for her.
But it's the truth. Doesn't your own father's word mean anything to you, Riley?
The kid's eyebrows lifted in surprise. He could tell from the flush creeping across Cumberland's face the swamper was telling the truth about being the marshal's father. Nobody else seemed surprised, so the kid figured the relationship was common knowledge around Copperhead Springs. One of the saloon's customers, a man with a thick white mustache, stepped forward to join Constance and the swamper on the boardwalk.
I'm tired of letting the broken spoke run roughshod over everybody in town. It's all true what they said, Marshal. Ahern murdered Ed Phillips, and you really ought to lock him up.
Cumberland was starting to look sick. The kid knew what he was thinking. Tate had told him the Broken Spoke was the biggest ranch in the area, which meant the man who owned it was probably the most powerful man in those parts. Apparently, that was Harlan Levesey, the son of Cy Levesey, Marshal Tate's old friend. If the kid had to guess, he'd say it was likely Cy was dead and Harlan had inherited the Broken Spoke. Inherited it, hired a hard-case crew ramrodded by the brutal Jed Ahern, and set out to tighten his grip even more. The kid had seen similar setups in the past and had heard about more of them from Frank Morgan, who had stepped in to help out folks against range hogs on numerous occasions. However, none of that was really any of the kid's business. He had come to Copperhead Springs because Jared Tate had saved his life during the run-in with those outlaws. It was up to the people of the town to settle their own problems. Although, after that battle with Ahern, the kid sort of had a personal grudge against the big man. It sure wouldn't break his heart to see Ahern behind bars, or dangling from a hang rope for that matter. That was what he deserved. At that moment, Ahern was starting to stir, moving his arms and legs where he lay in the street, and turning his head from side to side.
You better make up your mind what you're going to do, Marshal. Ahern's waking up. If you're going to put him in jail, you'll probably have an easier time of it while he's still groggy.
This stranger's right. You've got three witnesses accusing Ahern of murder. Isn't that enough to justify locking him up?
Four witnesses. It's time we got some sand in our craw again. Past time, maybe.
All right. We'll lock him up and the law can run its course. Somebody give me a hand with him.
What do you want me to do?
Let me get some rope from my horse. And roll him onto his belly. I want him tied up good and tight before we try to move him down to the jail.
The kid approached Ahern carefully. The man's eyes were still closed, but the eyelids were starting to flutter a little. He would regain consciousness soon. The kid rolled Ahern onto his belly. Cumberland hurried over with a length of rope. He pulled Ahern's arms behind his back and lashed the thick wrists together, pulling the rope pretty tight.
Well, let's sit him up.
Cumberland and the kid raised Ahern to a sitting position, and Cumberland wrapped the rest of the rope around and around the man's massive torso, finally tying it off so Ahern couldn't move his arms.
What the hell?
Take it easy, Ahern. You're under arrest.
Arrest? What the hell for?
Murder. You killed Ed Phillips.
That little gnat? Killing him ain't murder. That's more like stepping on a piddling little bug.
You see, Marshal? He admits it.
That's not exactly what it sounded like to me. We need to get him on his feet. Heave him up in one, two, three. Help me get him down to the jail.
What about Marshal Tate?
We'll take care of him, mister. Most of us here remember Jared. We look after him just fine. He'll be here later.
I'm obliged. Your father's a good man.
He's a damn saloon swamper. Don't talk to me about him.
Whatever you say.
Holding onto the rope, keeping Ahern bound, they forced him toward the jail. Ahern lunged back and forth in an attempt to pull free. Cumberland drew his gun.
Damn it, I will knock you out again if I have to, Ahern. And then we'll hitch a mule to you and drag you like the side of beef you are.
You're gonna be sorry you did this, Marshal. When the Broken Spoke gets through with you, you're gonna be sorry you was ever born.
Too late. Most of the time, I already am.
It took some doing, but the kid and Marshal Cumberland managed to wrestle Ahern down Main Street, around the corner, into the jail, and finally into a cell.
You can't just leave me all trussed up like this!
Turn around and back up against the bars. It'll mean ruining a perfectly good piece of rope, but I'll cut you loose.
Ahern stood there glaring for a couple of seconds, then did what Cumberland told him.
Oh, can't even feel my damn hands. You didn't have any call to tie me up that tight.
I've seen what you can do when you get mad, Ahern. I wasn't taking any chances.
You never seen me when I was really mad. Not like now. But that ain't the worst of it. Harlan ain't gonna stand for one of his boys being treated like this.
Let me worry about Harlan Levesey.
Oh, you better worry. You better worry a lot.
With his mouth twisting like he'd bitten into something sour, Cumberland jerked his head toward the cell block door and motioned for the kid to go ahead of him into the office at the front of the building.
Did I ever get your name, mister?
It's Morgan.
Now, how in the world did you wind up in Copperhead Springs with old Jared Tate?
Well, I ran into the marshal a couple of days east of here.
He's not a marshal anymore.
That's the way he introduced himself to me, so that's the way I think of him.
He's not in his right mind, you know. He can't remember anything anymore.
He knows who he is, or who he was, anyway.
Yeah, but from what I hear, some days he doesn't even know his own daughter, and he lives with her. And she takes care of him. I bet she wasn't watching him close enough. He wandered off, and he didn't know how to get back to her place.
That's in Wichita, you said?
Yeah.
So he was able to make it all the way across the state, almost back to his old hometown, traveling by himself. That doesn't sound to me like a man who's not in his right mind.
Tate can take care of himself most of the time. He just thinks it's 20 years ago. So I'm not surprised he made it that far. If it's something he knew how to do back then, he still knows how to do it. Mostly. His daughter and my sister were friends when the Tates still lived here. And Edna gets letters from Bertha now and then. Bertha says her pa's forgetting more and more things these days. Simple things that he used to do all the time. I don't guess any of that really matters. He's here. And there are people like my pa who will look after him until we can figure out what to do with him. Jared Tate is just about the least of my worries right now.
With Ahern being the biggest worry?
With Ahern's boss being the biggest worry.
Harlan Levesey's got this town treed, doesn't he?
Not Levesey himself, but the men who work for him. I guess it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
Pretty much.
And tell me again, what business of this is yours?
None, I suppose. I'm just a drifter. Thought I might look for a riding job in these parts. After I met up with Marshal Tate, he said he'd put in a good word for me with Cy Levesey, the owner of the Broken Spoke.
Cy died 2 years ago.
I'm not surprised to hear it.
His boy took over the ranch. Harlan never got along that well with the old man. They had different ideas about how things should be run. Cy started the Broken Spoke, and he built it into a successful spread, but Harlan thought it could be bigger. make even more money.
So he started making things hard for some of the smaller outfits around him, and when the owners pulled out, he took over.
You talk like a man who's been around some.
The kid shrugged.
You sure you didn't come here to hire your gun to Harlan Levesey instead of looking for a riding job?
I never even heard of Harlan Levesey until a little while ago, Marshal, and I don't hire out my gun.
You got the look of it. Morgan, you said you're called,
Cumberland glanced at the litter of papers on his desk.
You can look through those reward dodgers all you want, Marshal, but you won't find any of them with my name on them.
All right, don't get your back up. It's my job to keep the peace here.
That includes letting Jed Ahern get away with murder?
You don't know what that bunch from the Broken Spoke is like. I'm sorry about Ed Phillips. Damn sorry. He was a good man. Drove a freight wagon up here from the railroad every few weeks so we'd always have supplies on the shelves in the stores. And yeah, Ahern murdered him. No matter who threw the first punch or pulled a gun first, it was pure murder, and we both know it.
Then why?
Because when Harlan Levesey hears that I've got his foreman locked up in jail and charged with murder, he'll send his men to turn Ahern loose. And if I try to stop them, they'll kill me. And when they're done with killing me, they're liable to turn on the rest of the town. Now, I don't think they'll burn it to the ground. Levesey needs a settlement of some sort here. But they'd go on a rampage, do a lot of damage and hurt some people. Probably kill some people if you want the truth of it. So you tell me, Mr. Morgan, is justice for one man's life worth that price? Especially when in the end, there won't be any justice.
The kid returned the bleak stare Cumberland gave him. He didn't have an answer, except some abstract nonsense about the kind of law and justice that didn't mean a damn thing in the face of an attack by a crew of kill-crazed gun wolves.
Well, it's too late to do anything about it now. Ahern won't be in the mood to forgive being locked up like this. He'll have to have his vengeance on the town and on you. You beat him. And for that, he'll have to kill you. I suppose if you were to light a shuck out of here right now and be long gone by the time he got loose, he might not wreak too much havoc on the rest of us. Might even be that nobody else would die. But you can't ever tell with Ahern and the rest of that bunch. I don't suppose you'd leave town?
Run, you mean?
It might save some lives.
This time, maybe. Somebody needs to take the Broken Spoke down a notch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be a neat trick now, wouldn't it?
Are you going to let Ahern go as soon as I walk out of here?
No. No, like I said, it's too late for that. What I'm going to do is ride out to the Broken Spoke and have a talk with Harlan Levesey. Plead with him to be reasonable. Probably won't do any good either, but I'll try.
Good luck, Marshal.
I will need it.
The kid left the marshals and went back to the saloon. Constance was sitting at a large round table in the back of the room. Jared Tate was with her, and so was the white mustached man who had spoken up to condemn Ahern earlier. Tate smiled and lifted a hand when he spotted the kid, who'd started across the room toward them. Constance and the man with the mustache had glasses and were sharing a bottle of whiskey. A mug half full of beer sat in front of Tate.
What'll you have, Mr. Morgan? Whatever it is, it's on the house. Seeing that big ape Ahern handed his needs for a change is worth it.
Don't you mean dooming the town to death and destruction? That seems to be the marshal's assessment of what I've done.
No offense to my friend Bert, but his boy Riley sees the sky falling every time there's a cloud. He's always been that way. Jumpy, ready to think the worst.
Are you sure he's the marshal? I would have sworn I was. Riley Cumberland's not old enough to be a lawman.
We're all a heap older than it seems like we should be, Jared.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just that when I look around, there's so much that's not right. Just not right.
Did you get Ahern locked up all right? I'm Milt Bennett, by the way. Own the livery stable.
Kid Morgan. Yeah, Ahern's behind bars, for now.
Riley's gonna let him loose once it's good and dark, isn't he? He'll hope that that'll do some good, but it won't.
I wondered about that too, but he claims he's not planning to do any such thing. He's riding out to the Broken Spoke to talk to Harlan Levesey instead.
Like that'll do any good. No, we're finally going to have to stand up to that bunch and let them know they can't waltz in here and do whatever they please. Once they see that, they'll back down. The town's just as important to Levesey as his business is to the town.
The kid hoped she was right about that, but he had his doubts.
You didn't tell me what you wanted to drink.
Beer's fine.
Constance signaled to one of the bartenders.
I'll have some food brought over, too. I imagine it's been a while since you and Jared ate.
It has been. Thanks.
The food Constance had brought to the table was unusual fare for a saloon. Sausages and cabbage, but good, the kid thought, and he was hungry enough to enjoy it. While he and Tate were eating, Constance and Milt Bennett continued talking about how things had gone sour around Copperhead Springs ever since Cy Levesey died and left the Broken Spoke to his son.
I think Cy knew Harlan wasn't much good, even though he didn't want to admit it. He raised the boy by himself after his wife died when Harlan was mighty young. He wasn't cut out for it, though. He knew he'd done something wrong but couldn't figure out how to fix it.
A few good beatings might have gone a long way, but I'm not sure even that would have helped Harlan.
How many smaller spreads has Levesey taken over?
Let's see. I make it four.
That's right. They were all little greasy sack outfits that didn't amount to much. But even so, Harlan didn't have the right to run off their owners and gobble them up that way.
Nobody's ever gone to the law about him? Sent for the county sheriff?
The county sheriff got a nice big campaign donation from Harlan in last year's election. He's always going to find some excuse not to come over here and look into what's going on.
How about wiring the governor, then?
The governor was good friends with Cy. He's not going to believe Cy's son is doing anything wrong. That would be disloyal to his old friend.
The kid nodded slowly. From the sound of it, the people of Copperhead Springs were in a bad fix, all right. They couldn't look to outside help and weren't able to stand up to the men from the Broken Spoke on their own.
I should do something about this. I'm the marshal, and it's my job to see to it that laws are enforced.
Oh, honey, you're not the marshal anymore. I know you may not remember that, but it's true. We appreciate the sentiment, but it's not your job to help us.
But if I'm not the marshal, then who is?
Riley Cumberland.
That's not possible. He's a little boy.
I hate to say it, but maybe we need to go see Riley and ask him to release Ahern. It was easy to get carried away with the idea of standing up to the Broken Spoke, but if we do, it's liable to be the town's ruination. Maybe if we let Ahern go now, he'll spare most of us.
What about Mr. Morgan here? You think Ahern's gonna just forget about settling the score with him?
No offense, Mr. Morgan, but we have to think about the good of the town.
So I'll be the sacrificial goat.
It's not that way exactly.
You're hoping Ahern will kill me and leave the rest of you alone. I don't know what else you'd call it.
Nobody's gonna be sacrificed. Milt, I'm surprised to hear you talk this way.
Just trying to think about the good of the town.
The talk continued aimlessly for a while.
I think I'll go back over to the jail and check on Marshal Cumberland.
Make sure he hasn't already turned Ahern loose, you mean.
He said he was going out to the Broken Spoke to talk to Harlan Levesey. How long would that take?
The ranch headquarters is about an hour's ride from here. Depending on when he left, if he left, he could be back pretty soon.
Tate got to his feet at the same time the kid did.
I'll come with you. I may not be the marshal here anymore, although I don't see how that's possible. But I know my way around the jail.
Why don't you stay here with me, Jared? It's been a long time since I've seen you, and I missed you, you know?
The kid looked at her and wondered if there had been any sort of romantic relationship between her and Tate. The two of them were about the same age, and evidently, neither of them was married. They might have had to be discreet about it, what with him being the town marshal and her running a saloon, but it was possible. Whenever Constance looked at Tate, the kid saw a gentleness and affection in her eyes that belied what seemed to be her usual hard-boiled attitude. Tate responded to that as he moved around the table and put a hand on her shoulder.
I'll come back, Constance. Don't worry about me. I just want to give the kid a hand if he needs one.
She reached up, put her hand on his where it rested on her shoulder, and squeezed.
All right, but be careful.
Constance gave the kid a hard look. She was holding him responsible for Tate's safety. He nodded slightly to show he understood.
Come on, Marshal.
The kid and Jared Tate went to the marshal's office. Tate stood in the center of the room and looked around like a man who had come home after a long absence.
Are you sure I'm not the marshal anymore?
That's what everybody says. I don't think they're lying.
Well, it's just... it seems like I belong here.
I know what you mean.
If somehow all his memories of the past few years faded from his mind, and he could walk back into the mansion in Carson City where Conrad Browning had lived with his wife, Rebel, he would have felt like he was supposed to be there too. As if somehow nothing had changed. But it had changed. The mansion was gone, consumed by fire, and Rebel was dead. Conrad Browning was just a memory too, and that was the way it had to be. The kid's last attempt to reclaim his former life had ended in failure, and he would never allow himself to be trapped like that again. Tate looked at the chair behind the desk.
You reckon he'd mind?
I wouldn't much care if he did. Go ahead.
Tate sat down, took his hat off, and placed it on the desk. He leaned back in the chair with an expression of utter satisfaction on his face. Something about the hoofbeats made the kid stiffen as tension gripped him. His hand moved toward his gun as he turned to face the door. The kid twisted and blew out the lamp on the desk, plunging the office into darkness.
Stay here!
But I'm the—
No, you're not! Stay here!
The kid drew his gun as he moved to the door. There had been only 3 shots, and as he peered toward Main Street, he saw a figure on horseback had come to a stop at the corner. He couldn't make out any details about the rider, but he felt confident the man was the one who had fired the shots. The man shoved something from the back of his horse. The shots had been to get everybody's attention, the kid thought. It wasn't an attack. The man had been announcing that he was delivering something. The kid had a bad feeling about what that something might be. The kid heard Tate moving behind him. He was about to tell the old lawman again to stay there, but changed his mind, figuring it would be all right for Tate to come along. His instincts told him for the moment there was no danger. The two of them hurried toward whatever the horseman had dumped in the street. Up and down the blocks, the shots had drawn a few people out of the buildings, but nobody seemed anxious to investigate the commotion. As they got closer to the dark shape, the kid recognized it as human, just as he'd feared. He holstered his gun, reached into his pocket, and pulled out the metal container of matches that had saved his life a few days earlier. He knelt beside the man lying in the street. Just as the kid expected, the man was Marshal Riley Cumberland. It appeared he had gone out to the Broken Spoke just as he'd said he was going to. He hadn't gotten a warm welcome, though. His face was swollen, bruised, and smeared with blood from numerous cuts and scrapes. His clothes were tattered and torn, and from the looks of them, as well as the damage to Cumberland's body, he had been tied behind a horse and dragged over rough ground. But at least he was alive.
Good Lord. Poor hombre's been beaten within an inch of his life. Well, I'll have to find out who did this.
We know who. He needs help. A doctor.
Doc Franklin. His office isn't far from here.
What is it? Who's there?
The kid glanced up to see Constance coming down the street toward them, a lantern in her upraised hand. Bennett was with her, along with several other men, and a couple were armed with shotguns. The swamper, Bert, Riley Cumberland's father, was with the group as well.
Riley! My God, Riley! What have they done?
Bert dropped to his knees beside the unconscious marshal, lifted Cumberland's head, and cradled it in his lap. The kid got to his feet and turned to meet the others.
Sorry it took us a few minutes to get here. I'll be honest, we had to talk ourselves into it. We didn't know what we'd find out here. Is he dead?
No, but he needs a doctor. Marshal Tate mentioned Doc Franklin.
Yeah, he's still here. The only doctor we have.
Constance turned to the men with her.
Some of you boys pick him up and take him to the doc's house. And be careful with him. There's no telling how bad he's busted up inside.
Bert didn't want to let go of his son, but the men gently worked Cumberland's unconscious form away from him. They lifted Cumberland and carried him to a side street with the rest of the group following. A man in a nightshirt and robe met them on the porch of a small, neat house. He had gray hair and a broad, florid face.
When I heard the shots, I knew I'd likely be needed, so I got up and got ready. Good Lord, take him into the first room there.
The kid, Tate, Constance, and Milt Bennett stayed on the porch.
I could have told Riley he couldn't talk any sense into Harlan Levesey. He was just wasting his time. He's lucky that bunch didn't kill him.
Levesey didn't want to kill the marshal. He wanted him left alive for a reason. To send a message to the rest of you here in town.
That message being that we can expect the same or worse from the Broken Spoke.
That's right. The only question is, when?
It was close to an hour before the doctor came out on the porch to report that Riley Cumberland was still alive and had in fact regained consciousness. Most of the men had drifted away, going back to the saloon or to their homes. The kid, Constance, Tate, and Bennett were still there, as was Bert.
Then he's going to be all right, Doc?
I didn't say that. He's been through a lot. He's been treated mighty rough. I think he'll recover, but he'll need a lot of rest. He ought to be asleep now, but he's insisting he talk to you, Mr. Morgan.
Me?
That's what he said. But if you're going to do it, it ought to be soon. I'm not sure how long he'll be awake.
Go ahead, Mr. Morgan. It could be something important.
The kid supposed she was right. He nodded to the doctor, who led him into the house. Riley Cumberland was lying in bed, propped up with several pillows. His eyes were closed, and his face was pale and drawn in the lamplight. Doc Franklin had bandaged the worst of the cuts, but Cumberland's features were still swollen and bruised.
Morgan.
I'm here, Marshal. What can I do for you?
I can tell from that ruckus with Ahern that you're a fighting man, so you're the only one who can help these folks. Levesey said, and that he and his men are coming to town at sunup tomorrow.
To turn Ahern loose?
Yeah. Harlan said to have Ahern waiting for them. Said if he wasn't turned loose by then, they'd have to take him out of the jail and make the town pay for defying him. So you give him what he wants. And he promised they wouldn't kill anybody.
Is that all?
No. He heard about how you beat Ahern, and the town has to turn you over to them as well.
And if that doesn't happen?
He said that the Broken Spoke would make everybody in Copperhead Springs sorry.
Did he tell you all this before or after they tied you to a horse and dragged you?
Oh, Harlan said all that before his boys jumped me. Said for me to see that what he wanted was done.
What did you tell him?
Well, I told him to go to hell.
Having seen what he had of Marshal Riley Cumberland, the kid wouldn't have thought the lawman had that much defiance in him. But the marshal's badly beaten condition seemed to indicate he was telling the truth.
And he told his men to be sure not to kill me. He wanted me alive, to bring his message back to town.
So what is it you want me to do, Marshal? Do you really expect me to turn Ahern loose and surrender myself to Levesey's men?
No. Hell no. You got to fight them. Get everybody together. Tell them it's time to fight.
If I do that, innocent people are liable to be hurt.
You think they won't get hurt? If the Broken Spoke keeps running things around here?
All right, that's enough. He really has to rest now.
Not yet. You give me your word, Morgan.
I can't speak for anybody else in town, but I don't like giving in to skunks like that. I won't back up from their trouble.
Good. Good.
Well, he's worn out. Be the best thing in the world for him if he sleeps the clock around.
Maybe. Question is, if he does that, will there still be a town here when he wakes up?
The kid left the doctor and the marshal and returned to the front porch.
How is he? What did he have to say? Is he going to be all right?
I'm no sawbones, but I think the marshal will recover. He's resting now. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to talk to him, Bert.
As long as he's all right, it don't really matter. It's not like he ever talks that much to me anyway.
Why did he want to talk to you, Mr. Morgan?
Pass on a warning. Harlan Levesey's riding to town with his men the first thing in the morning. He expects Ahern to be turned loose by then, or he'll take it out on the town.
What did I tell you? That's what we have to do.
That's not all Levesey wants, is it?
Well, no. He wants me, too. I expect he wants to turn me over to Ahern.
So Ahern can kill you?
I'm not afraid of Ahern.
Maybe not, but I say no. We don't turn Ahern loose, and we sure as hell don't serve you up on a silver platter.
You better think about that, Constance. We never even saw this man before today.
I don't care. I'm not going to condemn him to death just because I'm afraid of Harlan Levesey. And I'm a little surprised and disappointed that you would, Milt.
I've got a family and a business to think about. Those things have to come first.
What if Harlan Levesey decides he wants to take over that business one of these days? What if he comes to you, offers you a fraction of what the stable's worth, and tells you you'd better accept or else?
Why would he do that? He's not interested in taking over anything here in town.
Not yet, maybe. But I never yet saw a man hungry for power who was willing to back away from the table.
What can we do?
Fight.
That's what Marshal Cumberland wanted me to do. He asked me to get folks together and get them ready to take on the Broken Spoke.
But those men who work for Levesey are killers. We're just normal people.
You can hold a gun, point it, and shoot it, can't you?
Yeah, and I can get shot, too.
A horse could kick you in the head and kill you tomorrow, Milt. You just don't know. None of us do. We risk our lives every time we get up in the morning. Wouldn't it be a good idea to risk them for something worthwhile for a change?
All right. I don't like being run roughshod over any more than you do. And it's true, there's no telling what Levesey will do in the future if we don't stop him now. If we back down from him again, it'll convince him he can do whatever he damn well pleases and get away with it.
That's the spirit. It appears the Marshal put you in charge, Mr. Morgan. What do we do now?
Spread the word. Anybody who has a gun and is willing to fight needs to be somewhere downtown at sunup tomorrow. That's where we'll make our stand. Anybody who's not going to fight needs to lay as low as possible. We don't want to have to worry about them.
Where will you be?
I plan on being front and center. I think it'll be time for Harlan Levesey and me to meet face to face.
With the showdown coming first thing in the morning, the kid knew he needed some rest. While Constance and Bennett split up to spread the word through Copperhead Springs, the kid and Jared Tate returned to the marshal's office. There was an old sofa in the office where the kid figured he could stretch out and get a little sleep.
I wish Cy Levesey was still alive. I can't believe he isn't. He'd put a stop to this in a hurry.
I'm sure he would, Marshal.
Oh, you don't have to call me that. I know this 10-star of mine is just an old souvenir.
You wore it proudly. No reason you still can't.
I appreciate that. Hard to believe little Riley Cumberland grew up to be the Marshal. He was always getting into trouble when he was a kid. No Ma to raise him, you know, just Bert. And Bert was always either drunk or working at some odd job to make money for whiskey. Riley? Well, Riley always sort of hated his old man, I think.
Bert cares about him.
Yeah, a father always does. Why, I always doted on my girl Bertha. I remember last year I brought this puppy home for her and... Well, that wasn't last year, was it?
Probably not.
She's a grown woman now. Got a husband and kids of her own. I seem to recall staying with them for a spell.
I'm sure you'll go back and see them when this trouble is all over.
The kid hadn't given much thought to what should be done about Tate, but clearly he needed somebody looking after him. He couldn't be left alone to roam around on his own, lost in the past with his memories going in and out of his head. The kid stretched out on the sofa and tipped his hat down over his eyes.
I'm going to get some shut-eye, and I'll be awake in time to get ready for Levesey and the bunch from the Broken Spoke. You won't wander off, will you, Marshal?
No, I'll stay right here. Don't worry, kid. I'll hold down the fort.
Like most frontiersmen, the kid had developed the knack of being able to go to sleep quickly and wake up when he wanted to. He dozed off almost as soon as he closed his eyes, and when he opened them, he knew it was about an hour before dawn. The marshal's office was dark. The lamp had either gone out or Tate had turned it out. The kid sat up on the sofa.
Marshal?
The kid had spent enough time in the marshal's office that he sort of knew where things were, so he was able to cross the room and find the desk. He took the glass chimney off the lamp, struck a match, and lit the wick. The yellow glow that welled up revealed the room was empty except for the kid. He bit back a curse. He had told Tate not to wander off. And he had trusted a man whose mind was half gone to do what he was told. It was his own fault. He had never before dealt with anyone who had the sort of problems Tate did, and he had made assumptions he shouldn't have made. It was too late to do anything except look for the old lawman, and he had to get out and see how the town was progressing with its preparations for the Broken Spoke crew. He could combine those two tasks. Leaving the lamp burning in case Tate came back, the kid left the marshal's office. The buildings along Main Street were dark.
Who's that?
Morgan.
Constance said you were taken over as the marshal, Mr. Morgan.
The man stepped out of the dark mouth of an alley, holding a rifle slanted across his chest.
Do you have any orders?
Do you know where the other men are set up?
Not all of them, no. But I got a couple fellas in this alley with me, and I know there's a man with a rifle on top of the hardware store across the street.
That's good.
Marshal, when a Broken Spoke gets here, how will we know if we're supposed to start shooting?
You'll know. You haven't seen Marshal Tate, have you?
The old fella who used to be the marshal here? Nope. Can't say as I have.
Well, if you see him, tell him to go back to the marshal's office, will you?
Sure thing, Mr. Morgan.
The kid moved on up the street and encountered men barricaded inside stores, crouched behind water barrels, and waiting behind false fronts. No one had seen Jared Tate. It was possible the old lawman had found himself a saddled horse, mounted up, and ridden off, bound for no telling what destination. In a way, that would be better. Tate would be well out of harm's way, at least as far as the potential battle with Levesey's men. Of course, he might find himself in other danger. When the kid reached the Trailblazer Saloon, he found Constance sitting on a bench in front of the saloon with a shotgun across her knees.
The town's ready. As ready as it's ever gonna be, I guess.
I'd say we've got between 30 and 40 men waiting to join in when the shooting starts.
Don't you mean if the shooting starts?
I'd like to think there's a chance of that, but from everything I've heard about Harlan Levesey, that's not what I'm expecting.
And you'd be wise not to. He won't back down. I never saw a man with more stubborn pride in my life. Reckon it comes from feeling like he could never measure up to his father.
Do you know how many men he has in his crew?
That depends on whether he brings all his hands or just the gunnies. He has about 10 actual cowboys working for him, taking care of the real work on the Broken Spoke, but 20 hombres who were hired for their guns.
So we'll outnumber them either way?
Yeah, assuming none of our men lose their nerve and run. And you've got to remember that a professional killer is more than a match for two or three store clerks and blacksmiths.
Have you seen Marshall Tate?
Jared? Blast it! You haven't lost him, have you?
He was in the marshal's office when I dozed off for a while, but when I woke up...
Damn it! I should have kept him with me!
I'm sorry. I didn't think about him wandering off like that, and I should have.
Oh, he wandered off from his daughter's house in Wichita and wound up here clear across the state. There's no telling where he might go. Well, he's bound to be around somewhere. As long as he stays out of the line of fire, we can always find him later. Assuming there is a later.
I got the feeling that at one time the two of you...
Mind your own business. What happened a long time ago doesn't have anything to do with what happens today.
The past always has an effect on the present.
I guess so. But we've got bigger worries right now, like surviving the next hour.
You better go inside and stay there.
I didn't bring this greener out here for show.
No, but you can shoot over the bat wings if you need to, or from a window.
Maybe, but it'll be another half hour before the Broken Spoke gets here. I'm enjoying the morning air.
The kid didn't waste time arguing with her. He just nodded and brought up something that had occurred to him.
When I ran into Marshal Tate, he told me he was on his way back from delivering a prisoner to Fort Hayes. Somebody named Brick Cantrell.
Jared took Cantrell to the army, all right, 10 years ago.
So that part was true?
You bet it was. Cantrell was a real bad hombre. Deserted from the army and put together a gang that rampaged all over this part of the country. After they raided the town, Jared put together a posse and went after them. They managed to catch the gang napping and jumped them. Killed about half the owl hoots, and the other half got away, except for Cantrell. They captured him and brought him back, and Jared turned him over to the army. He's been locked up ever since. Yeah, in his time, Jared Tate was one hell of a lawman, to put it bluntly. And now we have to worry about him because he might have wandered off and doesn't know where he is. It's just sad.
The kid agreed. He nodded and moved on to check the defenders ranged along the rest of the street. A golden glow had started to creep into the eastern sky, spreading like water flowing across the heavens. While he still had a little time, the kid went back to the marshal's office, thinking Tate might have returned there out of habit, but the room was still empty. Jed Ahern stood at the door of his cell, his fingers wrapped around the iron bars.
Where's the marshal? He better let me out of here if he knows what's good for him.
Marshal Cumberland can't do anything right now. He went out to the Broken Spoke yesterday evening to try to talk sense to your boss.
So he's dead, is he?
No, but no thanks to Levesey and the rest of that bunch.
Well, he'll be dead soon enough. And so will you, mister. If I know Harlan, him and the boys will be showing up any time to teach this town a lesson it'll never forget.
Maybe they'll try. Maybe they'll find that the citizens have more backbone than you're giving them credit for.
Oh, yeah, sure. Some of them might talk big, but they'll fall over and piss themselves like scared dogs if a real man even looks hard at them. If you're counting on them to put up a fight, you're about to find out what it's like to be all by yourself facing mighty tall odds.
The kid left the cell block and went back out into the streets. He walked out into the middle of Main Street to meet the men of the Broken Spoke. As the riders entered the western end of the street, the man in the lead held up a hand, signaling them to a stop. The dust swirled around them for a moment, obscuring the kid's view. But as it began to drift away, he was able to see there were about 20 men in the group. Levesey had left his regular ranch hands on the Broken Spoke. Clearly, he didn't think he would need them to impose his will on the town. The leader walked his horse out a few yards ahead of the others. He wore an expensive tan jacket and Stetson. As far as the kid could tell, he wasn't armed.
Who are you? Name's Morgan.
You're the one who attacked my foreman.
After he killed a man for no good reason.
That's your version of the story. I'm sure Jed will tell it differently. Bring him out here.
Ahern is in jail, and that's where he's going to stay until the judge says otherwise.
Do you honestly think I can't get a judge to drop any charges against him and order him released?
I'm sure you can. You've probably got a judge or two in your pocket.
Levesey smiled and shrugged. The cruel arrogance that came with money and power fairly oozed from him. He didn't know he was facing someone who, in another lifetime, could have bought and sold him at least 100 times over. When it came to money and influence, even a successful rancher like Levesey couldn't approach Conrad Browning.
The problem is that would take too long. I need Ahern released now. There's work waiting for him on the Broken Spoke. So go turn him loose if you've taken over as the marshal for the time being, and we can be done with this.
You'd take Ahern and go back to your ranch and not cause any problems for the town?
Well, my men are pretty upset that he was arrested in the first place. They might want to blow off a little steam. Well, not too much. I'd see to that.
So they'd just bust up a few businesses, beat up a few citizens, and call it good. Is that it?
You'd better take the best deal you can get, mister. Oh, and as for you, you'll be coming with us too. I'm sure Jed will want to talk to you some more.
He'd like to talk to me right into a shallow grave out on the prairie.
You shouldn't have butted in on something that wasn't any of your business. My men do what they want, and that's just the way it is around here.
Not anymore!
You're going to stop us. One man.
Look along the street. There are more than a dozen rifles pointed at you right now.
They won't shoot. They know if they do, I'll burn this town to the ground. I can always start over and build another town, one where the citizens are more agreeable.
You can't build anything if you're dead.
You're threatening me? Me, personally?
You were the one who was a big enough damned fool to ride up here by yourself.
You can't shoot me. I'm unarmed. And if you did, my men would fill you full of lead before I hit the ground.
Here's the thing. If I'm going to die anyway, like you said, then I don't give a damn if you're unarmed. All I care about is that you go through hell's swinging doors before I do.
You're crazy.
And you're going to be dead in about 10 seconds if you don't order your men to go back to the ranch and stay there.
You think we're going to just turn around and leave?
Nope. They are. You're going to stay here, and I'd say you're down to about 5 seconds now.
You mean it?
I do. And time's up.
Well, go back to the ranch. Now. You're going to be sorry about this, Morgan. More sorry than you can dream of.
Get down from that horse.
What are you going to do? Put me in jail with Ahern?
That's what I was thinking.
Burn the town! Burn it to the ground!
The kid didn't have time to see how the battle was going. He had his hands full with Harlan Levesey, who was turning out to be a surprisingly tough opponent. The kid got his hands on the lapels of Levesey's expensive jacket, bunched his fingers in the material, and heaved hard to the side. The kid lunged after Levesey and swung a fist. The punch knocked him senseless. The kid scooped him up, draped him over a shoulder, and made a run for the Trailblazer Saloon.
He's got the ball! Get him!
Constance stepped out through the bat wings.
Get down, Morgan!
The kid surged to his feet, taking Levesey with him, and charged up the steps to the saloon. Constance held the bat wings aside for him as he carried Levesey into the building. He dumped the young rancher unceremoniously on the sawdust-littered floor.
Keep an eye on him.
You can count on that.
The kid turned back toward the door and drew his Colt. The battle for Copperhead Springs wasn't over yet. Levesey's men had come to town prepared, the kid saw, as he looked over the bat wings. While most of the gunmen traded shots with the defenders, several of them brought out torches, lengths of cloth soaked in kerosene and wrapped around pieces of wood. With torches blazing brightly, the riders got ready to throw them at various buildings while their friends covered them.